Well, good evening, Harvest family. Trust everyone got an extra long handout for you today, young lady. Extra big, full-size paper, not just a half. All right, yes, so a little bit longer handout, yes, indeed. Put a little more scripture on it and a little more detail than last time. Hopefully it'll be a help to you. There will be one other pastor's scripture we'll turn to tonight. But we're glad you're here. Had a wonderful service for those that were not able to be here. We were here a little bit longer in the afternoon after everyone left, but led a young man to the Lord. And you pray for him, and I believe he will. All right, speaking of prayer, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing. Have our offering well, let's go ahead and have the offering since we have a somewhat good-looking man standing there coming this way. We'll go ahead and ask God's blessings on our offering tonight.
Father, thank you again for your many blessings, Lord. We are so blessed as a people. And we thank you for this wonderful church you gave us with Pastor Cook and Michelle. And Father, with the choir that we have here and all the music that Marlene provides. And Father, for the sound booth and John Cherry back there doing his thing. And Father, with Mike Cherry just being in a position to help us through some of the music, Father, we thank you so much for this church family, Father. So as part of our worship, Lord, we want to give back a portion of what you've given to us this week for the furtherance of the gospel in this area. And again, thank you for that young man that was saved this morning, Father. What a blessing and a joy it is for us to share in that with you, Father, because we know that is our purpose here. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me, Lord, in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within your holy.
back in. I think I have a passage of scripture in John chapter 1 a little later in point 2 that you'll need. I don't think I put in a handout. But let's go look at John chapter 8 before I read our text. In John chapter 8, it's quite a lengthy, I think there's 59 verses here in John chapter 8. And we see at the earlier part, the beginning, Christ, the defender of the weak. And as we continue to go through, we see Christ's conflict he has with the Jews. And then we see his divine sonship and some spiritual, talks about the spiritual blindness of the Jews or the Jewish leaders. And then he was defamed by the Jews, and the Lord answers them, and he declares his divinity. And in verse 58, he uses some terms that would be familiar with the Jews. He says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Right to the point, right to it, as he puts them somewhat in their place. And so the topic tonight, do you really know what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really know what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? If someone asked you and came by, and we'll have a word of prayer in just a moment, just a question here, and asked you, tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's two approaches there. You can tell them what he has done for you, or you can also try to do your best to explain who he is according to Scripture. Hopefully, able to do both, because I tell you, the best way to describe Christ, or best way to describe anyone, is what they've done for you and how they've worked through you and the influence they've made in your life. And so we'll look at some of these things tonight, and I've got a longer quote from a preacher that I'll read as well concerning the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Thank you for the Word of God, Father, that we cannot just experience our relationship with God, experience our relationship with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also can read about it and be encouraged and challenged and uplifted and comforted as needed. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Without a doubt, the Lord Jesus Christ is the central theme of the Bible. There's your first blank, I believe. It's the central theme of the Bible. And if we are aware and we even look, I try to encourage people sometime when they ask about reading their Bible. And young Robert, when I talked to him today, I encouraged him to read 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. I marked it in the Bible for him. I showed him there relatively short passages of Scripture. And once you read that, study a little bit, have any questions, then we're going to go over to the Gospel of John and read the Gospel of John along with 1 John again and try to encourage him as a new believer. And it's important that we understand and at times look for Christ as we study the Bible. Listen to how Jesus is described by the late Dr. Lockridge in his famous sermon, My King. If you can find it online and listen to it, I encourage you to do so. He says, he is enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. He's God's Son. He's a sinner savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He is unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He's supreme. He is preeminent. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest idea in philosophy. He's the fundamental truth in theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the only one able to supply all your needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleans the lepers. He forgives sins. He discharges debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. And he blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you really know what you believe about him, about the Lord Jesus Christ? Friend, if you do know him, do you really know what you believe about him? Just like if we talk to a child or one of your children or a grandchild and ask them to explain their dad or describe their dad, describe your grandpa, your papa or paps or whatever they may call you, how do we describe the Lord Jesus Christ? It's more personal when you know him and spend time with him. Number one tonight, the deity of the Lord Jesus. We read in our beginning text in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." See, Jesus is not merely a human, but also fully God, equal to God the Father. Question for you to ponder over the coming days or this week in your study. If you were trying to explain the deity of Christ to a non-believer, what approach would you use? How would you describe it? Let's look at a few things that might help you in our study tonight. Letter A, reference to the deity of the Lord Jesus as seen in his declarations. Christ, his deity, as seen in his own declarations. Nothing asserts the deity of Christ like the statements that he made about himself. John chapter 6 and verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." There's no doubt if you study your Bible and you begin to take a little notice when the Lord is rebuking the Jews or instructing them in the synagogues, there's no doubt he goes right to the point. Because he knows they know the law. And if you watch and experience that and notice as you study, it should be somewhat encouraging. And as he fights others of the non-believers with scriptures and with the word, and that is our best defense as well. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light." Excuse me, the light of life. Moving along a little further in John chapter 10 and verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Now, a little side note here, we'll pause and then we'll continue on with this theme. If sheep could choose their own shepherd, what kind of shepherd do you think they would choose? Something to think about. You ever read your Bible and run across something and kind of get off on a side trail chasing a rabbit? You got to make a note so you can come back and say, "Man, I want to chase this down, but I got to finish my study," and we write it down. And this is something I wrote down some time ago and was reminded. I went over my notes and just wrote this in my notes this afternoon. If sheep could choose their shepherd, what kind of shepherd would they choose? I imagine they would probably choose one that might be a little bit easier on them. Might not have that dog that's running around nipping at their heels to get them in line, whether we call it the shepherd or the evangelist who does the nipping at the heels. But whatever it may be, something to think about. John chapter 11 and verse 25, as we go along with the theme as seen as he declares his deity. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Again, it's very clear that Jesus is the way, and there's no other way, as he again presents his deity. John chapter 15 and verse 1, again, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." The better we understand who the Lord Jesus is, the better we understand concerning his deity in Christ, hopefully the more it means, the more meaningful it is to us that we can explain or try to describe to others who have questions. Not only do we see his declarations, but also let it be as seen in his designations. He is the eternal Christ. No doubt, no exception, full stop, he is. John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Notice number 2, not only is he the eternal Christ, but he is the immutable or the undeniable Christ. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Isn't it wonderful that we know that we serve a God, that we serve a Savior, we have a Savior that does not change. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his theology. He doesn't take notice of, hey, we have more than 144,000 members. We need to change our theology of our religion or of our sect. He is the same. We might be a little older, a little grayer. We might be a little bigger or a little thinner at any given time, but he does not change. change. And that's something that we should get encouraged and excited about, knowing that we can depend upon Him, and because His answers are always the same. He doesn't change them according to who is asking the question. It doesn't change according to who's reading the Bible. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then letter C, not only as seen in His designations, but as seen in His operations, the things that He does or has done. Number one, He is the Creator. Again, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Also, not only is He the Creator, but He upholds the universe. He upholds the universe. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the Creator. He upholds the universe, and He raised Himself from the dead. Another verse pops in my mind. I can't think exactly where it is. Talks about our God. I think it's, is it in Ezekiel or Job, where He reached out and hung the world on nothing. When you create the world, when you create the universe, and by through you all things exist and consist, you can do anything you want. I am so glad our Lord has everything in control. Not only is He the Creator and He upholds the universe, but He raised Himself from the dead. John chapter 2 and verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Oh, as seen in His designations and His operations, and letter D, as seen in His revelations. The Father recognized Him as deity. In other words, our Heavenly Father exalted Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father recognized Him as deity. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 8. But unto the Son He saith, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." Not only do we see the Father recognized Him as deity, but men recognized Him as deity. Not only our Heavenly Father, but men. John chapter 20 and verse number 28. And Thomas answered and said unto Him, "My Lord and my God." Number three, not only as seen in His revelations, the Father recognized Him as deity, men recognize Him as deity, but demons recognize Him as deity. And let me put a pin in that just for a moment, come back to it. If you notice the letter tonight, and our missionary brother Lance was talking about demon oppression. Now there's a difference between oppression and possession. We as believers can be oppressed, discouraged. I think David even wrote about that in the Psalms, of being oppressed by Satan, but we can never be possessed by Satan as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Demons recognized Him as deity. Mark chapter 1 and verse 24, saying, "Let us alone," referring to the demons, "what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Yes, even demons, even Satan, recognize the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we have seen, number one, the deity. Letter number two tonight, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, I don't have that in the handout. I'll turn there and read there. John chapter 1, verse number 1 and verse number 14. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," as we read earlier. In verse number 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Question for you to ponder for point number two. What does the fact that God became flesh mean to you? What does the fact that God became flesh mean to you? Again, something to study as you review our handout and study tonight, this week. What does it mean to you? Letter A, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. It was a prophesied event. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. It was a prophesied event. Let me pause there once again. I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to ask anybody to answer any questions. But as you think about it, do you realize if you're going to witness to a Jewish person, someone who ascribes to being Jewish himself, they do not recognize the Old Testament. You're not going to be able to take the Bible and go to Romans, go to John 3:16, go to Romans and run through the Gospels that lead to the Lord. Many of them will not refuse to recognize it. So my question to you is, do you know of the prophecies in the Old Testament and the best way to lead and witness to a Jewish friend that they may see Christ in the Old Testament? If not, let me encourage you to study that out, that you may have an opportunity to sometime to witness to a friend or to a neighbor or a new acquaintance and show them the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a prophesied event. And letter A, it was a historical event. Luke chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should deliver. And she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Yes, his incarnation, the Lord Jesus Christ, it was prophesied. It's an historical event. And then letter C, it was a purposeful event. Jesus was incarnated to reveal the Father. To reveal the Father. Our first passage of scripture to go with that this evening. John 14 and verse 9. Jesus said unto him, I have been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Yes, it was a purposeful event. Jesus was incarnated to reveal the Father. Number two, Jesus was incarnated to put away sin. That ought to make you shout right there. It ought to get us excited to know it was because of his death, what he had did, because of his incarnation, because of his deity, that we can have eternal life. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Another good thing to understand, and so often when, like this afternoon when I talked with young Robert and showed him through the scriptures about his need for Christ and what the Bible had to say, and he took the time and he decided and made the decision to pray and trust the Lord, I took my Bible, went over to John chapter 10 and tried to go through some things with him and understanding scripture, but also understanding, and I asked him the simple question, Robert, how long now will you be saved? And of course, new believer, has been in church. He said, I asked him, have you ever been to church? A couple times growing up with my grandmother. So this might have been his fourth or fifth time coming to church, two of which were here, today being his second one. I said, well, let me show you from the Bible that according to Scripture, when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord has put away your sin, destroyed your sin for all eternity. And took you to John chapter 10 and showed him the example that him holding the pen, Jesus has you sealed. And the Bible says, I and my Father are one. You are sealed within Christ. There's nothing you could do that to cause you to lose your salvation. No one can take it away from you if you are sincere in your need for Christ and have trusted him. And he said, yes, sir, I need the Savior. I need to be saved. Jesus was incarnated to put away sin. And number three, Jesus was incarnated to destroy the works of the devil. I tell you what, folks, I can't wait till they've been totally destroyed. I can't wait till the time that he is bound and that we are set free in that sense. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, we've studied this several weeks ago. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. But until then, we need to remember that we have all that we need as believers to defeat Satan. We have all that we need to rebuke him, to resist the devil, James says, and he shall flee from you because of what Christ has done for us. Number three tonight, not only the deity and the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, guys, remember back in the day when we had our wallets and we didn't have smartphones, and we opened up our wallet, and it was a ding-ding-ding-ding, and we had all the family photos that kind of rolled out of our wallet, and we wanted to share and tell about our children and about our grandchildren, and the older we got, the longer a bifold that we wanted that would fold out and show all those pictures, and then we'd turn it around, and there'd be pictures on the other side. Now we could pull out our smartphone and keep thousands of pictures instead of maybe 10 or 12 or whatever your wallet may used to hold. But the whole idea of saying that is, how often and how much do we talk about or share with others the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? If I asked you tonight, what is your favorite story about Christ? Outside of salvation, giving his life, what is your favorite parable? What is your favorite situation? What in the Bible, in the life of Christ, the journeys of Christ? What about your favorite story in Paul's missionary journeys and just going through those things? But the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Question for food for thought this week as you study. Using one word, how would you describe the earthly ministry of Christ? Boy, one word, that's a challenge. Of course, miraculous would be the easy way out. But think about that for a moment. Letter A, the ministry of the Lord Jesus as seen in his passion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Amen. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, as seen in his passion. No one is saved by the life of Christ, but his life proved that his sacrifice would be sufficient. It's not enough to read about and know the historical event of Christ. It's about having a relationship with him. It's not his life that you could talk about that saves us. It is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Instead, we are saved again by his death, and that is proved by his resurrection, as seen in his passion. Letter B, as seen in his offices. Yes, he is a prophet, a priest, and a king. Let's look at each one of those. As prophet, Jesus tells man what God has to say. John chapter 1 and verse number 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. As priest, Jesus represents believers to the Father. Seeing then, in Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our possession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Isn't it wonderful that when we go astray, we have problems, we struggle, that we have someone standing between us and God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Yes, prophet and priest. And then number three, king. As king, Jesus reigns in the hearts of believers. And he will reign as king on earth and throughout all eternity. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2 and 3. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Dear friends, I am so glad that our Lord not only created the world, but hung out and hung the earth upon nothing. I am so glad that he has this in the palm of his hand. I'm so glad no matter what comes our way, no matter what's going in our life, that he has everything under control. And you've heard me say this before. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He didn't wake up this morning scratching his head and wondering what would take place, what is going on, but he is in complete control. Aren't you glad you serve a God who is everywhere to everyone at all times? Isn't it wonderful that we can all come together on those Sunday mornings where we spend the time of prayer, where our ladies are standing in their areas and the men come forward and we're all praying? On Wednesday nights when we have our prayer requests and we go through some things and we all have a season of prayer together, that he hears us all at the same time and doesn't miss a word. He doesn't miss a holy groan. He doesn't miss a heartache, a mishap, or anything that takes place in our life. I am so glad that I serve a God. I am so glad that I have a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ who has fulfilled everything needed for me to have eternal life. Let's make sure that we get into the Word, know our Bible, to know God, to know theology, to study it. We can spend a lifetime studying the Word and still just scratch the surface. So encouraged this morning. Brother Smith, I've enjoyed your Sunday school class on Sunday mornings and some of the discussions we've had. And I think someone mentioned this morning, isn't it excited when you read your Bible? And though you've read it through several times and you read and you look at something, you say, has that always been there? It has. But isn't it exciting to know that sometimes the Lord allows things to highlight? You know, when I'm doing my sermon preparation, and I'm on the computer, I use different colors. I use red or a shade of a red for scripture, whether it's old or new. And then I use black for my regular notes. I use blue for the main points. Sometimes I'll use yellow to highlight certain things. I'll use bold letters in some emphases where I want to make an emphasis. So if you hear me raise my voice a little bit, you might say, well, that's probably in bold print in his notes. And then sometimes I'll use like the letter green for illustration and stories to help me if I'm going over something. Maybe I'll lose my place. I go back. I can find it quickly in my notes. I use a shade of brown or a yellowish brown for examples or quotes that are not mine and someone else. Sometimes I can give credit. Sometimes I don't remember. I just remember from my notes in my college days that someone said it, but sometimes I can't read who said it, as it, some of those things have faded. But I use those things to help me that stand out. Highlight sometimes the things that stand out. Isn't it something how we read the scriptures, how the Lord could highlight something today that maybe he didn't highlight the last time we read it? Could it be because he's such a good God and a good Savior that he knows what we're going to face that day? He knows what we need as we study our Bible. He knows what we need as we speak to him in prayer. He'll allow those things to be highlighted. As I mentioned this morning, let the Word of God be the light under your path. And get excited. I get so excited as I'm working on my second Bible and my studying and my preaching, as I go back on the older Bible that I have and seeing things, and I see something in Scripture and I'll make a note and think to myself, did I see that before? I'll have to go look for my old study Bible and pull it out. Did I make a little note over here in my old study Bible? Or is this something new that the Lord did? It's always been there, but something he has shown me and highlighted for me. That's our God. That's our Bible. That's our Savior. That's our Holy Spirit that works in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the blessing and joy of service and in fellowship. Father, help us to embrace your word that you might come alive afresh and new in our life each and every day of our life. Help us to study and to glean the scriptures, to look for those things that would be highlighted from you to us to help us in our journey for that day. Father, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for the sins of the world. Thank you that he bled and died and that he rose again that we might have eternal life. And Father, help us to remember to praise him. Help us to remember when we're discouraged. The best way to be encouraged is to remember your goodness that you have shown to us and through us in your Son, Jesus. Now, Father, bless as we dismiss. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless the rest of our week. May you be uplifted and glorified in our day and in our life each and every day. Amen. Well, as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.